Join me in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read a little bit from this letter. We'll begin around verse 13. And I want you to join me in grabbing an idea here that I think has threaded its way through my comments, at least for the last couple of times I've done these reflections. So I'm at 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 13. Peter writes, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Early in this letter, Peter is appealing to his audience not to return to the sinful life they used to live, but to walk worthy of their calling, to be holy, to use the language of this text. And he will abase that appeal in this little segment on several things. First, in verse 14, he talks about the time of their ignorance. You didn't know better, but now you do. That's why you should be holy. And he refers to them in that verse as obedient children. That is who they are now. No longer rebels, they are God's children, followers of Jesus, obedient children. They should live that way. And they are to be imitators of God. And so in verse 15, God is holy, and his children should be holy. And then verse 17, it gets a little more edgy. Remember, this father you call out to is also your judge, who sees everything and judges impartially. Every person gets what rightfully is coming to them in the end. And finally, in verse 18, he reminds them that they were redeemed from that wicked life at a terrible price. The blood of the innocent Lamb of God. The blood of Jesus. I think those last two things he appeals to sort of up the ante on the whole discussion, don't they? In a culture where all around us sin is trivialized, the mantra is it's no big deal. I think there are two truths here that expose sin for what it really is, for its ugly self. One is the promise of judgment in verse 15. Along with that, the danger of hell. Sin is so terrible it will send us there. There are consequences. But the other is the cross, reminding us of the price paid for deliverance. I will tell you why sin is a big deal. Jesus died on the cross to rescue us from it. And so Peter will use both of these to appeal to his audience. Don't go back to the path you pursued in your ignorance. stead, be holy. And so I think we find in all of that another way that the cross and the memorial that celebrates it begins to impact life every single day. And these reflections, how many times have you heard somebody reference the blood of Jesus shed on the cross to provide deliverance from sin? We even have this juice serving as a powerful, vivid symbol of the blood of Jesus. I think what Peter is making clear here in the latter part of chapter 1 is that our pondering of the blood ought to extend beyond just the moment of the meal. He suggests that we use it every day as we struggle with the old man and strive to be holy. As we engage our struggle for holiness, one of the things we should ponder is the cross, and the suffering, and the blood, and the innocent Lamb of God, and the depths of God's love. Those realities ought to be so ingrained in us that at the moment of the struggle, when I am fighting sin, the blood of Jesus, I'm thinking about that. Can you imagine how it would change the moment if that's where my heart was laid up? As I battle sin and temptation, if one of the things heavy on my heart is not just the danger of judgment, and I'm okay with you thinking about that. But if we would ponder as well, what an insult to the grace of God, to the price paid. For me to choose sin over the Savior. I cannot improve upon the language of the Hebrew writer. He said it far better. We trample underfoot the Son of God. We regard as unclean the blood of the covenant by which we were sanctified. We insult the Spirit of grace. I think in the moment of temptation, rather than being consumed with the forbidden, we need to consume with what an ugly choice it is to choose it. And so I think it's another way that this weekly memorial is so important to us. And it isn't just about the moment. We don't just come here just to remember that Jesus shed his blood so I could be forgiven from sin. It reminds us that sin is ugly. And our rescue was expensive. And as we move beyond the moment, it should renew our commitment to pursue holiness. So let us partake this morning, but let us remember.